I'm breaking out my deep voice for this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast because we're talking about Get Out of Your Booth, which is a brand new voiceover conference happening in June at Sokol's in Bethlehem. And we're joined today by event organizers Mike Cunningham and Jen Tifone to talk about the state of the voiceover industry in general, building community. I want to learn more about the voiceover community and what attendees can expect from this interesting new event. Before we get to it, I want to really quickly thank our sponsors, WDIY 88.1 FM. Please support local radio, Lehigh Valley Health Network, Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin with RE/MAX Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, and our friends at Banco Beverage Company. Thank you guys for sticking with me through that. Mike and Jen, welcome to the program. How are we doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I think I should take some pointers from you guys when it comes to voiceover. But no, I mean, it's, you know, I have like my three screens, you know, up here ready to go. I'm sure you guys are in your booths. How is that?
Yeah, I got screens all over the place in mine. I have
I imagine.
Big one here, and I've got ones where I stand up. And a lot of people, although I don't think you use a whole bunch, do you, Jen?
No, I have my my monitors mirrored out here at my desk, and then in the booth. The only time I sit in the booth ever is if I'm doing long form, like an audiobook.
Really?
I always stand.
Well, it's almost like a musician. Would think of it that way. Well, that's kind of, I want to start with this. We'll get into this stuff. So, Jen, you know, you said you started in 2007. I know Mike personally, and I know you started a little bit later. And I think we're going to be able to kind of go at that from those angles. So, Jen, I'd like to kind of start with you. Tell us your story. How did you get into voiceover work and then bring us to today and the stuff that you're doing now?
Okay. So, back in 1990, yes, I'm old. In 1990,
right?
I went to the Art Institute of Philadelphia and got my degree with the intention of being an audio engineer. Okay. And right as I graduated, my mom said, I need you to move back to Schuylkill County because your dad and I are getting a divorce and I need you here. Okay, yeah, there's a whole lot of audio engineering work going on in the Schuylkill. Thanks, Mom.
Right.
So eventually I ended up at the one radio station in Pottsville I swore I'd never work at because it's Top 40 and I hate Top 40. I spent 8 years in radio up there. Did some part-time work down here at ZZO, which was a whole lot more fun. But when I left the radio station, I still had clients who wanted me on their commercials. So I put a studio in my attic in my 1928 house. 1928 alcoves. Sound treatment was super awesome. I had a handful of local clients and I would write their copy, produce their like fully produced with music and effects and all that, and send it out to whatever radio stations they needed for $100 a pop.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So commercials and on hold messages. And then right around 2015, we had the introduction of what we lovingly call pay to plays, but casting sites. And so from there, it just really became a full time job.
Okay. And so when the internet kind of hit, well, 2015, the internet's been around, but in terms of those opportunities through the internet,
in the middle of, I mean, Pottsville is
sure.
in the middle
yeah,
of the internet.
I mean,
so no I didn't have everyone. Access to agents and studios and big projects. And it was
you
know, whatever I could get myself.
Right. And and Mike, how did you kind of give us your story and how you got to today?
When I first went to college before the military, I was going to do radio and TV at Northampton and couldn't get my life together. I ended up in the service, got out, didn't know what to do with myself, became an IT guy. And then I got to be like 40 years old. And my friend was like, why don't you do voiceover? The pandemic's happening. There's nothing else to do. And I'm like, okay, why not? And then literally said, I'll just give it a shot. So I joined one of these, you know, do it all for your programs where you get the training, you get demos and all kinds of stuff like that. you know, they teach you everything, and they teach you enough to learn that you don't know anything by the time that you're done. That's
interesting.
It's like going, it's like any other career. You know, you start, it takes you 3 to 5 years to get through. It's like going to get a whole nother degree, because what you don't know, you don't know. And so I've been doing it since really like 2022. It kind of grew into an obsession out of spite, where, like she said, we're not anywhere near LA or any of these, the big markets for all that kind of work. Sure. So I was like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make it work, and I don't care what it's going to take. So I built my booth. I got myself microphones, all the training and stuff, and plugging away every single day.
Have you found that the internet has taken the, what am I trying to say? It's made it a lot easier. Like, you don't have to live in Hollywood. You don't have to live there. Just, I mean, it kind of levels the playing field. That's what I was trying to say.
In a lot of ways, yes. It depends on what you're doing. Some things, like a lot of animation, they want you to be in the studio, or like they want you to be local to LA. Same for some of the bigger video games and things like that. If you want to do anime, it's very hard to get into that if you don't live in Texas.
Interesting.
But that's where Crunchyroll is, and they want everybody in there.
Okay. All right.
So, but for commercial stuff, promos, narrations, audiobooks, like there's a whole world of stuff out there, including video games and animation. I've done plenty of that, that you can do. Just if you have a good enough studio, there are resources out there to make it work. So it works.
So, like, Jen, what does it typically look like for you? Like, what is a typical day or week look like for you when you're doing voiceover work?
Like I said, I've been doing this long enough that it's a full-time job for me. And so I'm here just, you know, doing auditions all day. I do a lot of long form work in addition to
audiobook. Is that what
audiobook, e-learning, medical narration.
Okay.
So that's like the steady work for me, because commercial bookings are a lot harder to get.
And so do you find, is it like anything? I'm like, word of mouth is one part of it, and then the other part are some of these casting sites and that sort
of thing. I still do a little bit with one casting site, but everything is just an accumulation for me of years of building regular clientele.
Okay.
Who, like, I've been working with a company that does Microsoft, like when they come out with a new product.
Sure.
They do a little explainer thing. I've been working with them for 8 years now. So like they have a new product for Microsoft, and they just send me the copy. And
I'm sure that, like with any job, you know, there are some projects that you're like, yay, and some that you're like, oh man, it's the Microsoft manual. What are some of your favorite things that you've worked on, you know, personally?
Gosh, Honey Bunches of Oats was fun to do.
Like a commercial? Like
yeah.
A TV commercial? Yeah.
Because one of the lines was, is it this, this, and this? And I had to say yes, yes. And then there was a crunch and yes, because like I was eating the cereal. So I took a bowl of cereal into the booth with me and actually like did the cereal crunch. And that was fun.
So it was like, it's authentic.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you have, I mean, I know that you've done, I've seen some of the stuff that you've shared on social media, like video games and whatnot, but is there anything that you kind of stands out as your favorite thing that you've done?
The favorite thing I did, that had to be Kong Survivor Instinct, just because I'm a huge Godzilla fan. Like that game was so fun for me, and I got to die in like so many horrible ways that like it just being able to really like, my wife was recording me outside of the, because she could hear
what
me.
What did I say? Yeah.
And it was like horrifying sounding, but it was so much fun to do that. But recently I got an ad campaign for Buzz Balls, and it was a campaign with Lonzo Ball. And what she was talking about doing the crunch in the booth, the audition that I did, one of the ways that you book things is to add you to it, to make it authentic, to make it real, because otherwise you're just reading words on a page, right? Well, I got the idea to do like a little Ric Flair, like a woo, and and I did it, and they loved it. And they loved it so much, they kept it, and they put it into the ad. So like I got to like like 30 times at the booth, just, you know, doing this ad for them. And to hear it on the and you know, to hear it on the thing after I talk about getting blue balls and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. That was
sure. That's gotta be a little surreal because these are like national campaigns and honey bunches of oats, you know, buzz balls, and that you're recording in your little part of the world, right? You're in the snooker in that. That's got to be interesting. How do you kind of get psyched up for that? Like, if how do you get mentally prepared? I don't know. If you're dying 100 times, like, you have each one has to be as authentic as the last. Like,
you got to love it. Like, because you can't do any of this if you don't actually like what you're doing. Because if you're clocking in and clocking out, like, it's a job, like, everybody goes to their 9 to 5 and they hate it. Like, you know, okay, it's fine, it pays the bills. You will not book anything if you don't enjoy what you're doing. So, like, I really like doing that kind of, like, the effort's like, you know, like, making the sounds to do that because, to me, it's fun. It's not work. It's just playing around. And the more you can play and, you know, do those kind of things, I'll scream bloody murder until I don't have a voice left. Hopefully I don't do that, but it definitely is a thing, yeah.
Well, I'm assuming here, but the industry has to have changed from like the 80s when we're talking about the, you know, I'm just always envisioned those movie talk over, you know, voiceover guys as the big booming voices
in a world.
Right. And those people would have to be in studios, right? Mm-hmm. At least how is a conference like this, the Get Out of Your Booth conference, you know, representative of that new voiceover community or new industry?
The idea that we had behind it was that there's really not a whole lot of people in the Lehigh Valley that do this, or at least not that we're personally aware.
I know there's two of them right here, which is a lot more than I thought. So.
Yeah, really. But what happened with COVID, one of the, like, you know, tertiary, I don't want to call it a benefit, but one of the things that happened from COVID is that it opened up VO to the country at large. If you have a space, there are utilities you can use to do broadcast quality audio from wherever you're at. If you've got a good enough microphone and a good enough studio, you're good to go. So everybody kind of realized that, and then, well, we don't necessarily need to bring these people into the studio. We could just get this stuff done and increase the talent pool that we're putting it out there to. So Get Out of Your Booth, what we realize is there's people all over the country, but everybody's isolated. Everybody's stuck in their little booth and their little hole in the wall. You know, you don't necessarily know anybody, or you're in an area that doesn't have a lot of people that do this. It's a really lonely kind of existence, and we put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make a thing that was, let me take a step back. A lot of the conferences have a pretty high barrier to entry. It's expensive, and there's a good reason for that. There's a lot that's going on. A lot of high-end people go to it. You're going to meet, you know, do a lot of really high-end things, but they're not really geared towards beginners, you know, not so much anyway. And it's not particularly intimate because you're surrounded by 1,000 people, but we want to be able to meet people and talk to them and network and kind of get out of our booths and make it more of a thing where you belong to a community or create a community, as it were, for us around here. And not have to make any money out of it, because we're not looking to do that. That's not the goal. So I think everybody deserves a little bit more of that experience and a little bit more of, you know, the camaraderie and the joy of the, you know, of actually having a group of people that you can talk to about this weird, crazy hobby that you have in the middle of Williamsport or something like that.
Right. And, it's so weird to kind of think about that. Dichotomy of, you know, what your finished product is in a cohesive universe where everyone's talking to each other, but you're recording it in a solo booth. Like, that's kind of a weird way to look at it. All right, I want to continue on. So we're talking about the upcoming conference. We'll get to the location in a minute. But for somebody who's a beginner, Jen, you know, what are maybe some things that people do that they make mistakes? What is, like, what are some common mistakes maybe that beginners make? Because it's not as easy as just saying, hey, I have a good voice, right? Like,
That's so I have a podcast as well, VO Booth Besties, with co-hosts Jen Greenfield and Alicia Bake. We met at a conference in Dallas a couple years ago, and so we have a whole series, almost 100 episodes in about 2 years. A lot of training, a lot of what to do. And the most common post in our Facebook group is, I'm just getting started in voiceover because my friend told me I have a good voice.
Sure.
That was me.
But there's a certain amount of instinct involved because you can't sound. But
you said in the beginning, Mike, that you were going to go into that industry anyway. So
I didn't know about voiceover, but yeah, but it turned around that way. But yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, even like starting in radio, you tend to have this sing-songy thing happening and you're like, and come out in here. And You can't do that. And some people do have a good instinct coming in, but you've got to be prepared to put in the work and get the training. And
is it like training to speak naturally? Because yes. Like you say, the sing-songy, like, so when I'm reading a script and I'm going to be like, I'm going to act, I'm going to be serious, you know, it's still, there's that disconnect or like, I'm not saying it how I think it's supposed to be said. Like that's the stuff you have to battle, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's huge. You know, every audition that comes in, you've got to read the specs and you've got to understand what the client is looking for. But I can't tell you how many times I've booked a project and come out of that session and the way that it sounds in the end had nothing to do with the specs that were on that copy, had a totally different sound than my audition. And I've found that over the years, a lot of booking a job is you are what the client heard when they wrote the copy.
It's got to be, it's hard. And I had a hard time with this, like most people, making it sound natural, because it can't just sound natural. It has to be natural, because otherwise it's performative and people can hear it. So like when you're doing these stuff, you have to actually believe it. You've got to really put yourself in the situation. It's legitimate acting. And if you're not going to take that kind of time or care or understanding for it, it doesn't work. And that's one of the most frustrating parts about starting it, is that like, well, I read it the right way. There is no right way.
Yeah. I bet the feedback stuff, if you're not open to criticism, this has got it. Like, don't do this. Right. Because
actually,
I would imagine just like tell me I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I would say it's not criticism. You have to be prepared to not hear back at all.
Ever.
Okay. You don't often get a reply saying, sorry, we went with somebody else. Like, you have to just keep going. Just audition after audition, day after day, year after year, and be prepared to not hear any feedback.
I know.
Which makes a lot of sense of having a group like this, because then, I don't mean it might cut you off, Mike, but like this would be the perfect time to talk to each other if you're getting all that, throwing it into the abyss.
A little therapy, yeah. I know people with hundreds of auditions before they book their first thing.
Oh,
I'm not talking about a few, hundreds. And, you know, when you're starting out, you might spend a lot of time doing one because you don't know any better, because you're trying to do it right. And so you'll say, like, I've spent the past 7 months auditioning. I've done 350 auditions or something like that. I haven't booked anything. And it takes that amount of time for a lot of people to kind of like, for it to click, like, you're trying too hard. Just be you and just make it, you know, as real as you can.
That sounds a little daunting. You know, what is some advice for somebody who's like, okay, you know, I'm in. I know that I'm going to have to do 350, you know, but what's some other good advice for somebody starting out who's legitimately trying to maybe make this a career?
It's hard to say specific, because everybody does things a little differently, and it depends on what you want to do. Like, if you want to do audiobooks, there's, you know, specific sites that, you know, ACX and things like that. That are specifically tuned towards that. And that's kind of some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about at the conference. Right. If you want to do, animation and video games, there's specific areas and ways that you go about that, finding different rosters and studios to talk to, for commercials, specific agencies, because a lot of commercials don't go through that. And then also how to market, don't go, just through pay-to-play sites. For the bigger stuff, they go through agencies a lot of times. But then there's certain pay-to-play sites that we talk about, like Voice123 or Voices.com, things like that, that you can subscribe to get a lot of these different opportunities. If you're looking to do medical narration or corporate narration or industrial narration, each one of those is its own style. So then you want to learn how to, you have to get training is specifically in those styles because those type of reads are all different. So like it really just depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it and what kind of commitment you want to put into it. If you want to make like XYZ, I'm quitting my job tomorrow. I have no experience and I'm going to do voiceover and I am expecting to make $100,000 a year. I would not suggest that. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't happen. It has happened.
You have other issues.
I know people that it has happened for, but it's not common. You know, it's very not common. I would say, you know, give yourself three, 4 years before you can really establish yourself to the point where you're going to be in the industry enough to get the kind of trust and connections and networking in order to have the opportunities that you want to get to the things that you want to do. Like recently, I started making some of those kind of connections, but I've already been doing this. I'm in my fourth year right now. Mm-hmm. It's taken that long. It's hard. Everybody's journey is a little bit different. And that's kind of one of the big things about, you know, supporting each other throughout all of it.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health. And together, we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
Looking for your next adventure? Come explore the great outdoors with L.L. Bean's Outdoor Discovery Programs at Nockamixon State Park in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Whether you're brand new or building your skills, you've got something for everyone. Kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, archery, fly casting, and more. Our expert guides make it easy and fun because we believe the outdoors is for everyone. Sign up at llbeanoutdoors.com today to get more outdoors.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It's a crockpot career. Mm-hmm. It's not a drive-through. Like, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to get in.
And speaking of the marathon, and Jen, I'm curious to hear both of your takes on this AI, you know, the elephant in the room, you know, why bother? I can use AI on the software I have here. You know, some of it's, wow, that's really crazy. Some of it's horrible. What are your thoughts on it? I want to hear it.
I am not a fan.
Sure.
It undermines our entire industry as a creative in any field. It undermines your industry, whether it's music production or art or writing, voiceover. I understand it's the quick and easy way to get things done, but it's not human.
Right.
I don't care how good AI gets. You're not going to be able to direct the AI voice to sound the way that you want. I mean, if you spend half an hour in a session and have seven people directing you and they just want you to tweak that one word and add a little more emphasis here and pull back here, and you ended on an up on that sentence and I really want it down,
right?
That's where AI can't compete.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think a lot of people don't realize. They're like, well, I could just get AI to do this. And I think to myself, well, if you've been in a directed session with a bunch of people that want you to change one syllable or one word in a certain way, or like this certain hesitation here, you'll read the thing 20 or 30 times, depending sometimes. And just very, very minute little, oh, I just, you know, I want you to tweak this little tiny thing. And you can't really do that with a lot of the AI models. I'm not like Jen, I'm not a fan because I don't think that it is a good omen for society in general.
Sure.
The falsification of humanity is not something I'm a fan of. And I'm a big tech guy. Like I really, you know, like I love tech stuff, but I think that there's no point in being human if you're going to obsolete yourself from the things that humans do.
It's weird. I got my first email from, and I'm like, I knew it was a human, but it was written by AI. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're thrilled. And I'm like, man, should I just reply back with AI? Like, this is where we're at. Like, it's just my computer talking to your computer. Mm-hmm. It takes that human element. I think whatever humans just need it. And no matter what, it's got to stick around just because we're going to get burned out on this fake stuff eventually. It might be novel for a little while, but.
I'm hoping so. There's a lot of organizations and things out there that like NAVA, the National Association of Voice Actors, doing a lot of good work trying to, you know, get some things passed so people can stop stealing our voices. That's sure. Another thing with AI. Yeah, really? I had my voice stolen by
already.
Buddy. God. I had a studio in a foreign country clone my voice for their internal use. And then put it into a live service video game. And I found out, and I heard it. And I'm like, I didn't say that. And
you're like,
that's terrible, but I didn't say that. What's happening?
Yeah, your wife's like, that is not how you scream. I know that scream.
That kind of stuff happens. And it is that is what's terrifying to me. So
that's
like
crazy.
There's organizations out there trying to, you know, work with the politicians and things like that to try and get some stuff passed to prevent and or at least protect people from having their essence stolen by companies with generative AI things. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like you're just stealing my humanity to put into a product that you're about to sell, make me say things that I never said. It's scary in a way, but I'm hoping
it's trippy. It's like, it's really like, just imagine like you saying those words out loud, like that's something that's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all the more reason we need to come together on June 27th through 29th at the Sokols, which is interesting for people who aren't familiar with National Sokols. They can see some pictures here. It's a social club. It's a bar, restaurants, like, you know, if you're thinking of where is it, but you have space for events. You mm-hmm. hold professional wrestling events in here. So talk a little bit about the venue and a little bit more about what people can expect. This is for beginners as well. So people who do have been told you have a good voice. Well, let's absolutely see if you can. Yeah.
So the conference is going to cover a whole wide gamut of mostly entry level topics, but you know, some more advanced stuff as well. There's going to be a lot of you know, pretty successful professionals that are going to be there. I think I believe I was told recently that one of my current coaches, Malik Berger, will be there. She's been on stuff like Rick and Morty and a bunch of other kind of high profile things that you've probably very seen. Cool. The club itself has a hall. We have a 6-lane bowling alley. There's 2 different bars. We're going to have run of the place, by ourselves up until about 6 o'clock when, we'll end each day at 5. We'll allow everybody to kind of stay in the evening for the upstairs. We'll have a social with beverages included on Friday night. Saturday and Sunday, lunches will be included. There's about, I think we've got about $12,000 or $13,000 worth of prizes we're giving away. At the end of the all event, right. I think I believe I have maybe about 5 more left. If you purchase a ticket, there is a free sound absorption panel workshop that we're going to be doing where you can make your own panel for your house. Directions and stuff, and take that home.
I'm like, you should, if you came up here, you would be so disappointed in me. I have like the worst setup ever. You, like,
I've heard and seen work. Okay, don't worry.
Oh my god.
We're going to let people bowl and stuff. There's no pressure. The whole idea is that this is it's a networking event and you can come and learn stuff. If you want to bowl all day, go ahead and bowl all day. If you want to go sit downstairs and drink all day, go and do that. If you want to come and watch, watch one of the presenters, then feel free to do that too. It's a very low pressure thing. A lot of people get very overwhelmed at the larger conferences and we wanted to kind of avoid that. So we capped it off at a max of 100 people. We didn't want to overflow the hall and the bar and stuff like that, but there's going to be a lot of people from a lot of different areas of VO, coaches, things like that, you know, higher end actors, things like that.
Coming from like
all over the place. Like, absolutely.
Yes. I think that's also interesting too, because this, no offense to some of our other event spaces in the area, this is a unique space to hold this and, you know, is fun to have in the heart of South Bethlehem, you know.
Absolutely.
A national kind of voiceover conference, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, yeah. I mean, so cards at the table. I'm the vice president of the club. I have been for a pretty long time. One of the things that we try to do with the club is, you know, service the neighborhood and the local community with events and make it accessible to people. And I was like, well, why don't I just donate a hall to this?
I got these rooms over here. I just
Yeah, why not? And we didn't. So we're also not taking any money. There's no profit motivation from this at all. So everything that we get is going back into the event, into the prizes, into the food, into the drinks, things like that. We have a couple vendors that are I believe Bo Baden from Sherman Street's donating some beverages for Friday night. It's going to be really, honestly, a lot of fun.
Looking forward, Jen. What are you looking forward to the most?
You know, I'm the tech geek here. I'm the back end of the stuff. Like, I built the website and the schedule, and I'm in charge of the graphics and emailing our speakers and, you know, just kind of taking care of the logistics behind the scenes. So you can see on the schedule that we structured it to kind of work you through your career, like what you need and like all of the things that people don't consider when they're starting in voiceover. We're going to talk about the different genres and the things you need for that. And making vocal efforts. We're going to review some websites, like all the important basics. We're going to teach a Canva class so that you can work on your branding and keep it consistent and your marketing. And so, because it's not just a voiceover, it's a business.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You need to have the business basics too. So we also try to include some of those things in the conference so that you come away on Sunday having a good understanding of the whole industry, not just, oh, I have a nice voice and people tell me I can.
Yep. And maybe
I think it's big picture. Yeah. I think it's like, there's some poetry there in the, you're all kind of doing your own thing and your own little booths and you're part of the world and coming together and sharing all the things that you've learned. Like, that's a beautiful thing, right? You know, so it's really neat. It's really cool that you're doing this. For people who are interested, we've had the website up here, but it's getoutofyourbooth.com. We'll have that in the show notes. You can get more information. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. Anything that goes on at Sokol's is always a good time, right?
So, absolutely. Absolutely.
Next up, voiceover conference. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Guys, thank you so much. I said we'd talk for like 15 minutes. Here we are 30 minutes later, because it's interesting. It's really cool. And I love that, you know, we have such great talent locally and you guys are willing to give back to other people who are trying to, you know, do the same thing you are. And I know that feeling of, hey, if somebody had just kind of given me this piece of advice a couple of years ago, it would have saved me months. And I think that's what you're providing, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It would have saved me months and thousands of dollars.
And having that community to connect with and ask questions instead of trying to figure it out on your own makes such a big difference.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Jen and Mike, thank you guys so much. This has been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having us.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health, and together we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials, and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities, because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernadin with Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Benko Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring these episodes to you.